B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Speaking with Sal Palantonio here on 97.5.
I'm just trying to keep it real.
No, absolutely. No, I would expect nothing less, Sal. I would expect nothing less. As we're speaking with Sal Palantonio here on 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio. The other part of the Carson Wentz drama has to go with the contract. We spoke to one of your colleagues, Adam Schefter, yesterday.
My man.
And he talked about how this looks like it could
get
done.
What did Schefter say?
He said before this season. He said he could get done before this season.
Talks have started, and he would expect something before the season, definitely, but maybe even soon.
Okay. I'm going to respectfully disagree with Chef Dave.
Okay.
You think?
No, I think conversations are ongoing. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Here, Sal, let me just switch your mic.
All right, sure. Take your mic. Okay,
yeah.
Got it?
Yeah.
All right, good. So I'm going to respectfully disagree with him because I don't think it's in the Eagles' best interest to rush this. As I said, we're not going to really know anything till September. And why would Carson Wentz want to bet on himself unless he knows it's big? It's a, right, Bobby? It's
yeah.
a big-time bet.
Yeah.
All right, I'm back in September, and I'm back in a big way. Now, okay, show me the money. Mm-hmm. Show me the big money. Show me the Aaron Rodgers kind of money. I'm not giving you a hometown discount. I've been through a knee injury, rehab through that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through a back injury, rehab through that. I came back with a vengeance. We're 4-0 at the end of September. Okay, get out the checkbook.
And by the way,
right?
Let's not forget about my rookie year. Let's not forget about my rookie year where I broke a rib and all of a sudden you traded the starting quarterback. I went from 3-1. Just like that. Like, I think I'm doing okay if I'm Carson Wentz. I would bet on myself if I'm him.
I would bet on myself, but if I'm the Eagles, I would also be very, very careful. If I'm the Eagles, I would be very careful. You're talking about a guy who was hurt in college, hurt in training camp in his rookie year, hurt in the MVP-like season when they won the Super Bowl, and hurt last year.
Now, looking at we have the draft class. We have all sorts of moves. Stefan Wisniewski got re-upped for another year. Tim Jernigan's back. I mean, Joe Douglas has done great, obviously. Howie Roseman, though, making his moves to plug those holes, though. What have you been making of the entire offseason thus far?
I think it all comes down to Miles Sanders. Yeah, I mean,
really?
I do.
All comes down to him.
I do, because I don't think Andre Dillard, correct me if I'm wrong, we're talking about the left tackle of all left tackles right here in our presence, but is Dillard going to make that kind of impact right away?
No.
No, he's not, right?
No.
Because of what you've seen on film and what I've seen on film is, I don't think he has the ferocity right away to come in the NFC East.
Exactly. That's something that he's gonna have to get a little harder. A little tougher.
I don't see the edge yet.
Yeah.
I see the natural talent.
Mm-hmm.
He bends well.
Yeah.
He has some strength.
Yeah, he has all the tools.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the attitude coming from that left coast.
Yeah. He does need
Trey.
A little bit more grit.
Help me out here.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so I'm seeing Miles Sanders. See, what I saw at Penn State for Miles Sanders, and I think he'd be pretty fresh sitting behind Saquon Barkley for so long.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw from Miles Sanders and what I saw on film getting ready for the matchup show is a guy catches the ball naturally, has a burst, and really has great lateral movement in between the tackles. He's got a good jump cut step. He's very good, explosive, can catch the ball. There, you know, and I talked to Doug. We had a leadership conference at Marion Club in Cinnaminson last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for SJ Magazine. And he was talking to me about how Deuce Staley already got Miles Sanders to hold that ball up high so they don't have the problem that they had at Penn State. So they, I think, really like Sanders to step in right away in the passing game. He's plug and play if he can hold on to the football.
Who's your mind, Jeff, Sal? Anybody?
You know, B. West a little bit.
Really?
Whew.
All right.
Man,
all silent on that.
I'll tell you. Hey, Howie Roseman said at the press conference right after they drafted him, more or less, that he reminds me of a couple of guys that we had here already. Everyone knew who he was talking about. He was talking about Brian Westbrook. He was talking about LeSean McCoy.
Mm.
Yeah, I think, you know, he just has great natural pass-catching ability and the ability to change direction. And I'm not talking about, you know, people talk about in space. I don't even know what that means. You know, a football field is not in space very often. Mm-hmm. But if you can change direction in the A, B, and C gaps, you know, when linebackers are bearing down on you and the safety's coming right at your helmet, now that guy has proven to be able to do that at PSU.
All right, Sal Palantonio, let's get down to the real thing here. How's your golf game?
My golf game
How's
is
your golf
so
game,
bad.
Sal? My sources say it's phenomenal.
No, you know, I can hit it as Bobby knows, I can once in a while hit the deep jumper. Right? Yeah, the three ball is okay.
And throw an elbow while he's doing it.
When I get inside, I'm way too physical, Bobby.
Yeah.
Way too physical.
I just knew to force you left. That's all I know. I force you left.
Sal ain't no pal when you're down on the boards, baby.
Down on the block. That, in essence, is my golf game. I'm here to support my brother, Mike Missinelli.
There you go.
And the radio station. And to be here for this great cause. And it's a beautiful day, and I'm happy to be here. And thank you for having me on the show.
So, we're going to Sal Pal. What's the best version? Sal Pal, the reporter. Sal Pal, the tennis player. Sal Pal, the golf player. Or the golfer, excuse me. Or Sal Pal, the basketball player.
Sal Pal, the grandfather.
Oh, listen to this guy. But behind door number five. Perfect. Sal, always great talking to you, man. Good luck out there today. I'll be seeing you out there on the greens, my
friend. Thanks for having me on the show, Mark.
It's great having you, as always, buddy.
Appreciate you, brother.
Good to be on the team, my friend. Thanks so much. Sal Palantonio. The great Sal Palantonio, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Right there. It makes you feel good about all these other things going on in the sports world right now with all the things going on in the Eagles front office.
I love Miles Sanders, so I'm with Sal. I think that was a great pick. If you believe what they say, they thought he was the best running back in the draft.
You called for it months in advance.
I've liked this kid a lot. He's got fresh legs, only played the 1 year. If he corrects that fumbling issue, I think he had five fumbles in his first four games this year, something like that. That is the knock against him, but that is very correctable. Look at Tiki Barber. I think he's got great jump cut capabilities. He receives the ball well out of the backfield. I think he fits this offense perfect. I'm very excited about Boobie Sanders.
Well, let's not forget, remember when we saw our boss, Eric Johnson, EJ, walking around in a suit the other day? Remember that?
Yeah.
He was going to that Sal Pal little football symposium with Doug Peterson. That's where he was all dressed up for.
That's right.
And that's where apparently Doug Peterson told Sal Pal that that's where he already had Miles Sanders having that ball up high and tight.
Yeah. I'm excited to ask Zach one thing, and that's about Andy Whitehall.
Zach Berman joining us in a couple
momentarily
minutes.
Here in about 2-3 minutes. Is Andy Whitehall a package deal with Joe Douglas?
Mm.
If you lose Joe Douglas, do you lose Andy, or can you keep Andy to maybe take that next step ahead of Andrew Berry since he's been here longer?
That is a little bit of a paranoid thought I had as well.
Yeah.
It makes you think whether or not they are hand in hand.
Yeah. I'm curious what Zach thinks about that because we got some of the best tied into the team here with us today in Sal and Zach.
Well, one of the things that made me feel confident, and Sal touched on this as well, was that if you leave Philadelphia, if you leave Howie Roseman's front office to go to the Jets, you're now going into what is very well claimed.
Hashtag LOL Jets.
Is Adam Gase's front office. So if you're leaving, Trey, if you're leaving.
Adam Gase!
That's the world we live in right now!
Yep.
But if you're the Jets, that's the world you've created. Mm-hmm. So, Trey, if you're looking at a situation, if you're Joe Douglas, and you're looking from afar, and the grass is greener, whatever, my friend Adam Gase running things for the Jets, but if I want power, which is why somebody would leave a good organization like the Eagles to go to the Jets where you're not going to get that same power, it seems like it would be a very lateral move for what would be just a title.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's not, and it's the grass that always looks greener on the other side. I mean, that sometimes you get over there and you're like, there are a lot of weeds in this that made it look like it was green. I mean, you know, when you look at this organization, I mean, you have a lot of stuff going on. And then also, you're going to have some issues where, you know, your players are going to be coming back a little disgruntled where you're talking about, you know what? You didn't want to pay me this amount of money. This is why you fired the GM. There's going to be a couple of issues. I don't know if you want to go somewhere where you're trying to rebuild a team instead of just staying in a well-oiled machine where you just keep adding pieces and go win another championship. Do you really want to start over?
It's funny, though, talking to college coaches through the years, pro coaches through the years, I hear exactly what you said. Why wouldn't you stay here? You know, you go there and you're going to have to rebuild. You're going to have to put your own name. That's exactly why.
Exactly. That's why sometimes.
Because and I don't say this in a mean way, and I've said it before, because coaches, GMs, whatever it be, they're very egotistical.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they got in that position. I can fix anything. I can coach anyone. I can do this.
Yeah.
And that would be, like Sal laid it out, and it's perfect. Why would you leave? But the same argument you make, why would you leave, is why they would leave.
It's a challenge. Right.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
I think it boils down to, does Joe Douglas like Sam Darnold? Because, I mean, frankly, you're nothing in this league without a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at a prospective team that wants to hire you, you're looking at the quarterback's position. And is it something you can hitch a wagon to and be deemed successful?
Well, but the other part of it is if I'm looking for incentive to leave, if I'm a GM or I'm a football executive and I've done well, whatever, if I'm Joe Douglas.
Yeah.
Then the other thing I'd want is I want to go to a franchise.
Power.
Where you would be in position to draft a quarterback. You have a quarterback.
You want to start even lower to build.
I want to build it.
But if he liked Sam Darnold 2 years ago, this job could be very appealing to him. It all depends on how he evaluated Sam Darnold.
But it's still not my guy.
Because then now he just feels like, you know what, I just had to add a couple pieces to him, and then we're
because
right
he's got
there.
A good young defense with some really stud-like players, and he just signed perhaps the best running back in football. Mm-hmm. So there are pieces there that are appealing, but you have an ownership group that, you know, they're better in pharmaceuticals than they are in football.
And Jamie makes a fine point.
Well, you're hot today.
He is hot today.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, he's
hashtag
here.
LOL
he
Jets.
It gives me a look like I have a Jets hat.
I was dropping Johnson and Johnson knowledge on you, Bob.
Yeah, you are. Don't drop your Johnson on me.
Bob, he looked at you and was just to say, deal with it.
I know. I don't know.
Wait a minute, Trey. You make a fine point.
He's got
as well.
A little bit of an attitude today, Jamie.
I think I'm done.
I got like eight cups of coffee pumping through these veins.
You do. You've been
going on. Jesus.
You've been pounding coffee since we started, that's for sure. And we are, by the way, we are at Ron Jaworski's Downingtown Country Club, of course, in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Proceeds from the Mike Missinelli Open are benefiting the American Association for Cancer Research, the AACR, world's first and largest cancer research organization, bringing together the greatest minds in cancer research to cure and prevent cancer. Also, Mike Missinelli Open is presented by Corona Premier Premium Light Beer for people looking for an elevated light beer experience. 2.6 grams of carbs and calories. 90 calories, not too bad.
I will drink a couple of those today.
Absolutely.
And I will be very happy to do so.
Oh, yes.
Good luck to you.
Oh, it takes over for you guys.
As soon as we get off the air.
Vulture days.
A man that we owe more than just a beer to is the great Zach Berman of the Philadelphia Inquirer, and he is on the line with us right now. Also author of the book Underdogs, of course, about the Eagles' run to the Super Bowl just a year ago. Zach Berman, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, and congratulations to Jamie on becoming a father.
Well, a little known fact, my wife and Zach graduated high school together, so they go way back and are good friends, and thank you very much, Zach. It's been two of the best weeks of our lives.
Zach, I saw... Zach, I saw him last week with his daughter, Skylar. He was a puddle of tears. It was just a big softy.
I saw him try to change the diaper the other day, Zach, and it was horrible.
Yeah, and that brings a puddle of tears as well.
Zach, it brought a puddle. It wasn't tears, though.
Yeah. Zach, a father twice now. Zach, we've talked at length about the Eagles in the past, obviously, and we know you're a basketball guy as well. We'll get you chiming in on both, but the big story regarding...
He's a UVA alum, so we can talk about Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter.
Oh, there you go. We got all the bases covered. We got fatherhood covered, mothers, football, everything.
I'm a Syracuse alum, by the way. I couldn't get into UVA. I just covered them.
Oh, you covered UVA. I'm sorry. Yeah, I had that backwards. Yeah. That was your first job out of Syracuse, yes.
What the hell, Zach? Couldn't get into Temple? What's wrong? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so, Zach, you're looking at this situation now that's developed with Joe Douglas, where the Jets are supposedly kicking the tires on Joe Douglas. We just talked to Sal Palantonio, said not much of a concern. Do you think that a guy like Joe Douglas would be interested in going up to New York to take that GM job with the Jets?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, there's only 31 GM jobs in the league when you consider the fact that Jerry Jones has his own team, essentially. So there's 31 GM jobs. They're hard to get. Joe Douglas is in position to be selective, but I don't know how selective you can be when you're looking at a team with a good young quarterback, with some talent on the roster, good facilities, big market. You know, the only thing that you need to consider is how will you interact with the coach. Now, he has a previous relationship with Adam Gase. I think, as my colleague Jeff McClain wrote on Twitter yesterday, it can be overstated that they're especially close, but they have worked together before. They know each other. So that's the one factor, because this isn't a GM job where you come in and you get to hire your own coach. And in 2019 in the NFL, there's very few teams where the GM picks the players, the coach coaches them up. It really needs to be a big partnership, as you saw here, frankly, with Chip Kelly and Howie Roseman. And so that's the thing that you would look out for with that job. But on the surface, it would be a very appealing job, I'd imagine.
Would you think there'd be any chance that the Eagles, just as an attempt to keep him in Philadelphia, with no GM title being on anybody right now with the Eagles organization, would they just name Joe Douglas the GM, possibly, as an attempt to keep him here?
I mean, that would be a title more than anything else.
Sure.
As you said, there wouldn't be change to his responsibility. Howie Roseman has final say. That's not changing here. Now, I don't know what the final say situation would be with the Jets in terms of who has control of the 53. My guess is Adam Gase would have control of the 53. Having control of the 90-man roster is something that Joe Douglas doesn't have here. For your listeners, basically what Joe Douglas's job is he's in charge of the scouting staff, of the personnel department. So he came in here back in 2016, introduced entirely new grading system, entirely new scouting language. He sets the board. The scouts get their directives from him, but he doesn't pick the player, so to speak. He doesn't have final say on picking the player.
Zach, two-part question for you. One, do you think the title of GM would be enough to keep Joe Douglas here in Philly? And the second part of that, is Andy Whitehall a package deal with Joe Douglas if he were to leave? Do you believe they could possibly retain Andy, or are Andy and Joe close enough where it's a package deal?
Yeah, good question. To the first part of the question, I don't think the title would make a difference. I mean, my guess is...
I'm assuming money would come really, with said title.
Yeah. My guess is it's more the job. A, is it offered? B, do you want it? C, what do you think is going to be out there next offseason? And D, do you think you're going to get that job? So I think it would be more about external influences than anything that could happen internally. As to Andy Whitehall, that's a good question. Joe and Andy are very close, work together in Baltimore. Joe brought Andy in. Andy's his number two. The Eagles gave Andy Whitehall a promotion last offseason. So you see, does Andy take that next step to Joe's job here? I don't have a good answer to that. I know Andy Whitehall liked and respected in the building. I also know him and Joe are extraordinarily close. I should add, the Eagles hired Andrew Berry this past February. Andrew Berry's role is a little different than Joe and Andy. He's in Howie's Department of Football Operations, so he has a role in scouting and strategy and all different areas. But Andrew Berry is a name you're going to hear quite a bit over these next few months, and he's going to take a big role in this Eagles front office. So I think if Joe were to leave, Andrew Berry would be a person I would watch in terms of having a bigger role with the board, with everything that goes into the scouting.
Speaking with Zach Berman of the Philadelphia Inquirer, also author of the book Underdogs. Zach, when it comes to basketball, Zach Berman, we talked to NBA Adam Schefter a lot. We need to talk to NBA Zach Berman for a second here. The Sixers got bounced out after seven-game series, an amazing seven-game series with the Raptors. Joel Embiid crying, walking off the court, put out a post on Instagram saying that this is going to make him be even better than ever. Do you think this loss will be almost a career-defining loss for Joel Embiid, where he starts to take maybe his talent a little more seriously throughout the offseason?
I suppose it has the potential to do so. I mean, it's the first time he experienced that type of Game 7 defeat. Now, I think that career trajectory was going up regardless. The only thing that's going to stop him is injury. When you talk about nutrition, things of that nature, I think that comes with time in terms of being a pro. But what you have seen in past years, is especially in the NBA, is teams kind of progressing each year in the playoffs. I mean, you saw it with LeBron. You saw it with Oklahoma City when Durant was there. I mean, frankly, you saw it here with Allen Iverson when the Sixers were losing to the Pacers, finally got past the Pacers, and that's when they broke through. So I do think losing in the playoffs like this can help, and you've seen it time and time again where you kind of graduate on to that next round or to the kind of that next phase of your career.
Zach, do you think the Eagles have improved during this offseason minimally, greatly, and if so, where the most?
Yeah, good question. I do think their roster overall is better. I would say between minimally and greatly. On the offensive side, they're much better in terms of skill positions. Running back was a weakness last year. You have Jordan Howard, Myers, and Miles Sanders now. I think that's very much improved. Their wide receiver core was banged up last year. They should be better this year. The area of concern is that is the defensive end. This defense is built around the pass rush. They have improved their interior pass rush. I think their defensive end depth chart is worse this year than it was 1 year ago. They really need Derek Barnett to take the next step. They need production from Brandon Graham and Vinnie Curry, and maybe you get something from Josh Sweat or Sharif Miller. They could still add to that spot. The other thing I would point out is they're counting on a lot of aging players. And as you guys have seen, in the NFL, when you fall off the cliff, it happens very quickly. So you need to avoid regression for players like Jason Peters, frankly, Brandon Graham, Malcolm Jenkins, Jason Kelce, some of these 30 and over players, they have a lot of them. So pay attention to avoiding regression.
All right, Zach Berman, Philadelphia Inquirer. Always great to talk to you. We appreciate you coming on with us today, Zach.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
appreciate buddy. It. Zach Berman, Philadelphia Inquirer.
His book could be a good Father's Day gift. Just saying.
It's absolutely.
Just saying.
Yeah, why not relive the memories with Underdogs, written by Zach Berman about the 2017 Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Absolutely.
Super Bowl 52.
It's nice to look back on that year, isn't it?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little
still
bit.
Feels good.
You know what, Jamie? I think I'm going to nominate you for the Hollidge True Value Garden Center Tool of the Week.
Oh, yes. And that's you're making me blush.
Yeah. just for your take.
Couldn't be a better candidate.
On the Joel Embiid 9-year-old letter, you jerk.
You went after a 9-year-old girl today.
I
potentially went after her parents, not
her. No, you started with her and then you weeded your way.
I believe you said, let me tell you something about that little weasel. I believe that's how you started.
It's like whatever goes viral, people are like, ooh, how can I get it on the action?
Right.
And now it's like, well, I'm going to pimp my child out to potentially.
So no one has genuine feelings anymore.
Nope. Not in the day of social media, Bob.
Wow.
Well, that, you actually make a nice point.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning from beautiful Downtown Country Club. Ron Jaworski.
I just saw Jaws inside. Just told him this place is spectacular.
Was he marveling at his own views?
I think he was marveling at his autograph he was writing for somebody. Somebody went up to him and was like, "Can you sign my glove? Like golf glove?"
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
That's got to be a pretty cool thing. I told you the story about
an autograph?
I told you the story about my cousin meeting Jaws' brother.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, hey, what's up? I'm Jaws." My cousin was like, "What?" Like, my brother, I think, goes by Farz occasionally. I don't think he gets Farzy too much. Like, there's one Farzy in his family.
Yeah.
And it's probably my older cousin, Steve. But that's
I'm sure they were Jaws as well before he was Jaws.
Oh, yeah. Like, back in Poland?
Yeah.
Like, hey, Jaws.
Grade school. I'm sure they were the Jaws brothers.
Hey, Jaws. Yak Shamash. There we go. Thank you. Dubjing. There you go. 610-632-0975. So I've been talking about this all day. And the Phillies lose a disappointing one last night. They lose 5-2 to the Brewers. And it wasn't like Ryan Braun went off for 5 grand slams like he seems to always do against the Phillies. But there's a situation that came up in, what was this, Bob, the 4th inning?
Yeah.
Sean Rodriguez?
Yep.
He's at third base yesterday. And to his credit, later in the game, he made a couple of great plays. By the wayside. The big play, Trey, came in the 4th inning, bases loaded situation. And Pat, I hope we have this audio right. I don't think I told you. My apologies. So yesterday, you hear this happen. In the 4th inning, Sean Rodriguez is at third base. Ryan Braun's at the plate. Bases loaded. Nobody out. 1-1 ball game. Jake Arrieta's on the mound, right? He walked a couple of guys. There was a misplay by Cesar Hernandez at second.
That was infuriating, too.
Of course.
Go to second.
Go to second base. Make the play.
It's simple.
Make the play. So then Sean Rodriguez gets a little ground ball hit to him, a couple of hops to him, right? He fields it.
Yeah.
And then just pandemonium breaks loose. With the bases loaded, nobody out. Ryan Braun hits it to Sean Rodriguez, and his brain just goes dumb. Here's the play-by-play yesterday as heard on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Camper over to third. Rodriguez has it. Gonzalez isn't running. He's got to go home. Rodriguez does and does. All right, we'll shake the cobwebs out.
Yeah, that was, he basically made his first step was the right step, but then he froze because Gio Gonzalez stayed on third base. He didn't start running. You hear Tom McCarthy say it right there. When he didn't start running, Sean Rodriguez paused and wondered what the heck was going on. Like, he got confused. And as they tell all the young players, before the balls hit to you, know what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
And Sean Rodriguez made his first instinct was the right one to step towards third. but then he hesitated, and that's where his mind got ninja'd. He looked right to third base, then he looked left at the runner, Lorenzo Cain, who, by the way, was pointing home. Like, he was trying to help him, and I guess Sean was like, he's the enemy, he's not going to help me, oh my God, and he freaked out. I counted, Bob, 4 seconds.
Yeah, and when you're...
4 seconds he held the ball in his hand.
When you're a reserve infielder, I mean, that's what you have to thrive on mentally. You have to thrive mentally sharp. Ready to go. Look, every other sport that we play, basketball, hockey, football, it's reactive. It's boom, reactive, where are you going, how do I react to this? Baseball is just so damn mental, and that's why a lot of kids, you know, they get out of it early. They decide by like 11, can I stick this out?
It's boring.
It's boring. But the only way you stay in is by being mentally in it. Maybe that's why he is a career backup.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Maybe. He had one great
Bob
year.
Going for the jugular
You can't have that.
Damn. Maybe this is why you're a backup.
Bob, we don't take shots on this show. All right, Jamie?
It's constructive criticism.
We're a beacon of positivity, that's Bob.
Right. Yeah.
Whenever somebody hates on you on Twitter, it's constructive criticism. Yeah. That's how I try to think. 610-632-0975. But after the game, you did hear Gabe Kapler try to explain what happened. Here is the Philly skipper, Gabe Kapler, at least trying to make some sense of whatever was going on with Sean Rodriguez at third.
Really unusual situation to have Gonzalez go back to the bag in that situation. I went out and asked Mike what he saw there and what he thought rule was. If Tito goes back to the base, probably the play there is for Sean to go over and tag him and then deal with him. So, very confusing play, not one you see very often.
Yeah.
And, you know, looked confusing to Sean as well.
It's not confusing!
Yeah, is he saying confusing because of how it looked?
Because
of the way he played it? Or was he actually saying... Yeah, when it was hit to him, I was confused, too. What is Gabe saying there?
He's saying that Gio put Sean Rodriguez's brain in an Auntie Anne's pretzel and twisted it, and the guy didn't know what to do. And that's on him and nobody else. It wasn't a confusing play. You step on third, and you throw home. Boom, boom, double play. You don't even think about it. Damn it! That was stupid.
What he's saying is that we've never drilled this.
Yeah, like, that's inexcusable.
We have never drilled this, so... He was confused.
But he's trying to have his players back, which you appreciate.
Okay.
But no. Sorry, Gabe.
Don't sell me on it. But don't sell me on a ground ball to a third baseman being confusing.
I agree. It was dumb.
That's the bases loaded.
I know.
You're literally forced to run.
Like when we were little kids, plays anywhere.
Any base.
Plays anywhere, literally. Play any base.
Our Beasley softball team will call out the situation. Hey, two down, plays at third if you got it, infield.
Yeah. Where the hell's that? The big leagues.
If Beasley softball can do it, the Phillies should be able to do it. Who's your coach?
Who's the Beasley?
Eric Simon.
Yeah, he never called me. Whatever. But anyway, if I was on that team, I would have called it out. Eric Simon needs to be with the Phillies as a bench coach or something.
Plays at second if he got it in field. Plays at second. Two down.
If they say anything about the Beasley broadcasting softball team, it's fundamentally sound.
Any bag, guys. Two outs. But it's a sure thing.
Yeah, I mean, Trey, this is like Juan Castillo telling you, "Hey, block the defensive end." And you're like, "I don't know how to block a defensive end."
Yeah.
This situation was never drilled.
It's drilled, though.
It was never drilled.
Drilled into their head for a million
years. It wasn't drilled.
Sean Rodriguez played 1,032 games as a professional baseball player.
It wasn't drilled.
Ridiculous.
They didn't talk about this during spring training. None of this was talked about.
He gets the ground ball, and it's like he started looking for landmines around his feet.
I tell you what. It'll be drilled from here on out.
But at the same time, it's something so basic to the game, it shouldn't have to be drilled. Like, that's like telling you on a three-step drop to take three steps.
One would think.
I mean, you get to the level you're at because you understand inherently the game you are playing. Sean Rodriguez showed a lack of knowledge.
You have to drill it.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Maybe. But, like, come on, man. You're a professional ball player right now.
Maybe, you know what, Jamie? Maybe Sean Rodriguez will take over your spot as the tool of the week.
No.
I would love him to.
Jamie is cemented in that spot this week.
I say, screw those kids.
All right, we need something here to lighten us up a little bit here because we're all rather perturbed. By the way, the Phillies going to lose, of course, 5-2. It was very disappointing to say the absolute least. But let's get to this picture here because Sam Wilson, who's celebrating her 1-year anniversary here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Sam. We love having you here.
Take a week off next week.
You are taking off next week, aren't you?
Wednesday to the Friday after.
Good for you.
Good for you.
So you tweeted out a photo, which is something that's very common, I feel, for a lot of ladies, where they will tweet out a photo of them with their girlfriends. And they will look great. The person releasing the photo on social media will look great.
And Sam, you look great in the photo.
You do. You look lovely.
I look a little squinty eyed.
No, oh, stop. Oh, just right. Stop it. All right.
Really nitpicking here. Yeah. Because the alternative is me.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like a little glow about you and everything.
Right.
You
know. But the bottom line is that a lot of you ladies will be tweeting out photos of you and your gal pals out and about, right? And then the girl that tweeted the photo or put the photo out will look amazing, and their other friends look as like haggish. Okay.
And that sounds like Sam, as we know
I don't
from her
do that
history.
Because
she
hates women.
We
she
know hates from women. Her history. Yeah. That's Sam.
Yes.
And every picture she's posted of us, like that as a group, it's always her looking good.
Oh, yeah.
And we look like,
yeah,
you know.
Rag asses.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So, Sam, go ahead. Now, where can people see this photo that you tweeted out of us?
So, I tweeted on my Twitter, at SamWills18, I think. And then we also tweeted it from at 975Mornings.
All right. And what are some of the comments? What are the people saying?
So, Go Birds tweeted in and said, when it's take your dad to school day and you can't decide on which one to bring. That's a good one, right? I was cracking up.
That
and
is,
then
Go Birds. Good hustle right there.
Mally, because this one's appropriate for all of us,
all
even
right.
myself.
Okay.
Mally tweets
even
in, myself. So who stopped at the distillery before the pick? Which is very accurate if you actually see the picture.
Yeah.
And then, because you guys were complaining about it earlier, Cam tweeted in, and he sent us a new version of the picture.
And oh, good. Okay.
It's still all of us in it, just my face on everybody.
All right. That's inappropriate. I am offended.
Wait, right. There's no, like, constipation comments about me? Because I look constipated
Not,
in the photo.
Yes. Not for nothing. I think we pretty much beat that.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you said it, and
I'm
then
shocked,
everybody just kind of liked yours and retweeted yours. So.
Because the internet's a bloodbath, and when you put out a constipation photo, you expect to get ripped.
Yeah, it was mostly congrats, which props to you people for being nice today.
Well, thanks, Sam, for putting that photo out on the internet for all of history.
I promise. I did. I'll admit, I just looked at myself.
Sam,
we know.
You remain a wonderful team player, let me tell you. Don't forget about the Fanatic Deal of the Week. Get two general admission tickets to opening tap for Philly Beer Week on Friday, May 31st for just $46. That's two tickets for the price of one. It's a great sample. You can do the sample special offerings from over 60 local and national breweries. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Get your tickets before they're gone. Supplies are limited. Coming up here at the beautiful Ron Jaworski Downingtown Country Club. We're at the Mike Missanelli Open here, brought to you by Corona Premier, and helping the wonderful people, of course, of the American Association for Cancer Research.
And those cold, frosty boys keep walking by me. A couple guys double fisting. I'm getting real thirsty.
I'm lighting a cigar.
Yeah,
okay.
I need one.
I'm lighting a cigar in 15 minutes.
Corona Premier time.
I can't wait to just have ourselves a good time. Now, being that it is a golf outing, right?
Yeah.
It's the Mike Missanelli Open.
You get to deduct the amount of beers you drink from your final score, I believe, is how the game is played.
Oh, yes, of course.
I believe that's the official original rules from Scotland.
You played where they were drinking Corona Premier, obviously.
If you drink 12 beers, you get to take 12 strokes off your game.
We're going to have a little golf update here on Tiger Woods coming up with our man Mike in a second, so don't you miss that. Time at the Fanatic, 941.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome. Have we been on the air? Anyway.
I hope not.
I hope not. Too late. Anyway, 610-632-0975. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a little golf tournament going on here. And no, I'm not just talking about the Mike Missanelli Open. I'm talking about the PGA Championship.
Yeah. Guy named Tiger Woods is teeing off this morning at 8:40, I believe.
I believe it's pronounced Tiger.
Tiger.
They had an opening hole for him, right?
Yeah,
did
and
he
I
double bogey the first hole.
I believe he did, and I believe Brooks Koepka birdied that same hole.
I'm going to tell you right now, he's never winning another major. I'll tell you right now, I want to be the first.
He was the favorite on the DraftKings odds board.
Oh,
him and Dustin Johnson were one and tied for 1A on the odds there on DraftKings.
Well, you know what? What do we know about the PGA Tour? What do we even know about Tiger Woods? You know who does know a lot about
views
him?
Out here, man.
Yeah,
really marveling.
That's you got to marvel at the views, especially when you're looking at Corona Premier, man, who's a sponsor in this great event. But to talk to us about all things Tiger Woods and the PGA Championship is our own Mr. Mike Rose, our correspondent for golf here at Beasley Broadcasting. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's terrific to be here for the Mike Missanelli Open. It's a classic.
Look at this. We got a bunch of guys out here ready to tee off and play some golf, right?
Well, hopefully the conditions are going to be a little bit easier than they are at Bethpage Black.
Yeah, go into this. What's going on out there?
Well, the scores are going to be high. I think this is more of a U.S. Open type condition than PGA, where you used to be able to shoot 15, 20 under. I think anything in the like 5, 6, 7 under for 72 holes could win the tournament.
Wow.
7,500 yards, one of the longest courses on on the tour. The rough is very high. If you don't hit it in the fairway, you really have no chance of doing anything. And Tiger started out hitting in the rough and made double bogey to start, and so did Francesco Molinari. Playing with him is two over. Justin Rose is two over. It's not basically, you know, who's in the lead today. It's how far back you are, and if you're shooting some bogey numbers, you're in trouble.
Yeah, now, is Tiger Woods back, though? I mean, that's the one everybody wants to talk about. And, like, sometimes it shouldn't even call it golf. It's just called the Tiger Show. Like, well, that's what it feels like for a lot of people. But is he back, you think?
I definitely think he is back. I mean, he won the Tour Championship last year, and he won the Masters. Those are two of the main events on the Tour. So if you win those, you're definitely doing something right. But he didn't play any time between the Masters and the PGA. I think he's a little rusty, and I think that's showing up early in the tournament. So we'll see again how it goes.
And what is going on weather-wise out there right now? How bad is it?
Well, the weather here is kind of like the weather that they're getting. It was cool and windy earlier in the week with lots of rain. Mm. The weather is now good. They're going to get the weather that we're getting, which is moving up into the 70s today and possibly on the 80s of the weekend. So things will firm up a little bit, which makes the greens tougher. And we'll see what happens with the rough and staying out of it.
All right, who do you like to win the tournament?
I didn't like Tiger. I like Brooks Koepka to win again.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I put him in my lineup.
And he did shoot, he did birdie the 10th hole, yeah, which is like a 490-yard par 4.
I mean, you want to look for your long hitters here, and there's not much stronger on the tour than him.
Long hitting helps. I think Dustin Johnson could be in contention. And Justin Rose I thought would do well, but he started out with a double. Brooks Koepka is the consensus favorite at 1-under so far.
And he does the bench pressing before tournaments. Do you agree with that philosophy?
I bench press about 14 pounds. So, you know, whatever he's doing it right.
Mike Rose, our golf correspondent, Peasley Broadcast. Mike, you're the best. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate it. Mike Rose, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? That was great input from Mike Rose, but how about a little input from Inge real quick?
Oh, jeez.
Inge, what's happening, bud? Mike just grunted as I said that. Mike, or Inge, what's up, bud?
Inge?
I think Pat killed him with a drop.
Wow.
Inge?
Oh, no.
Inge?
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, my God. Inge, I was worried. Sick.
No, that was Bernie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. He's rumbling.
I hear him.
Is this Inge?
He's pulling the phone out of his behind.
Inge.
Because that's usually where he talks from. Did you see what I did there?
It smelled. I saw what you did there.
That was a talk out of the ass reference.
I got it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ace Ventura.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Sam, let's do a Twitter poll here, brought to you by the great people of Window Nation, as all the golfers are, I think, assembling for the...
we're going to watch Mike shank one into the water. Oh, that's what we're going to do.
Are we going to do...
yep. Inaugural first drive right into the pond.
Is it going to happen in this segment?
Yeah, probably right at 10 o'clock.
Jason
can give us play-by-play.
We'll try to hit it early here, just so we should make sure we get that on air. But go ahead. What's our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation? Search for window shop, windownation.com. Don't forget about their amazing sale that they have going on right now at Window Nation, ladies and gentlemen, because Window Nation, you can take advantage of their 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments, no interest, 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION. Visit windownation.com. Samuels?
This morning we asked, would you be concerned if Joe Douglas left the Eagles? We had just under 2,200 votes today. 62% said yes, they would be concerned.
They stayed right around there all day. And now, you know what? Let's get our takeaways of the day in here at the end of the day as we start the Mike Missinelli Open. Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is not only is it my 1 year, but it also would have been my dad's 62 birthday. So happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday,
happy
Pop.
Birthday.
Beautiful, beautiful. Did a great job with this one right here, this young lady. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is we are going to go out there as a foursome and not kick some ass, but have a great time. Mm. And today might be the day I finally beat Bob Cooney.
You can't beat me today. It's a scramble, you ass.
We're going to keep an individual score because you got...
That is impossible!
Whatever. Well, yeah, he's got an old man back flaring up, so I'm thinking today is my
old
day
man
to strike.
Back flaring up.
Yeah.
Now when I kick his ass, it's actually special. Yeah.
So I'm taking my opportunity with the back bat.
Right, shut up. Here's my takeaway. Is that Jamie just proved why he's the tool of the week.
Straight top.
Mic drop.
As if we don't have to stay here all day anyway. Trey Thomas, take away.
Hey, my man say, damn them Terrans. Keep it moving.
My takeaway of the day is that Trey Thomas and Juan Castillo learned everything they know about good players from Christina and Jeff Lurie. Have a great day, everybody. Stay tuned for Jason Martinez today from the Mike Missinelli Open presented by Corona Premier.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.